This morning we'd like to draw your attention to the fourth chapter, beginning with verse 13. Esther 4:13. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not within thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if you altogether hold your peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" This was a time of national crisis for the Jewish people. Haman, the enemy of the Jews, has set into motion a decree that will exterminate all of the Jews. His pride has been injured because Mordecai would not bow to him because he said that he was a Jew. He was so angered at the insolence of Mordecai that he could not be satisfied in just getting Mordecai. He wanted to get all of the Jews with him. And so it has been decreed that on the 13th day of March, through the 127 provinces of the kingdom of Persia, on that day every Jew was to be put to death. This decree has been signed and sealed with the king's signet ring, and according to the laws of the Medes and the Persians, once sealed by that signet ring, it cannot be altered or changed. A time of national crisis for the Jews. It was also a time of opportunity for Esther. God had placed Esther in a very strategic position. She was the queen of Ahasuerus, the king of Persia. 5 years earlier, she had been selected among all of the fair maidens to become the new queen. God had positioned her there for this crisis that had arisen. She is in the position of possibly interceding in order that another decree might be given that would countermand the first decree and thus bring salvation for the Jews. And so Mordecai sent in and told her that she should go before her husband to plead the cause of the Jews. She sent an answer out to her cousin and said, "Look, Mordecai, you don't understand the protocol of the Persian court. First of all, once that decree has been sealed, it cannot be altered or changed. Secondly, you just don't go into the inner court of the king whenever you want to. There are rules that if you enter into that inner court without the king specifically inviting you, the penalty is immediate execution. The guards that are standing there will immediately put you to death unless the king will hold up the golden scepter, and only then will your life be spared. He hasn't called me for 30 days. I don't know if he is just not interested or doesn't like me or what, but if I should go in there without him calling me to come in, instantly they'll execute me unless he raises that golden scepter." That is the point where this second message then came from Mordecai to Esther, in which he said, "Don't think that just because you are there in the palace, If this decree is carried out, don't think that you're going to escape by being in the palace. This decree will reach you there. You also will be executed if this decree is carried out. So don't think within yourself that you can escape by being there in the palace. Though the king did not know the nationality of Esther because she was told not to reveal it, Mordecai is saying, you will become a victim of the decree. You may be risking possible death by going in before him, but you're risking certain death by not going in. It is possible that the king won't raise his scepter. It is possible that you will be put to death. However, you can be sure if this decree goes through, you will be put to death. Mordecai had great faith in the purposes of God. He said, if you fail, the purposes of God won't fail. God has purposed that through the Jewish nation, the Messiah is to be brought into the world. God had promised Abraham that through his seed, all of the nations of the earth should be blessed. Abraham understood that to mean the Messiah was to come from him. David was promised that there would never cease to be one of his seed sitting upon the throne. David understood that the Lord was saying that the Messiah would come from his seed who would occupy the eternal throne of God's eternal kingdom. The purposes of God shall be fulfilled. Thus, the Jewish people have to be preserved. And their deliverance will come. God will deliver them somehow. If you fail, God won't fail. Thank God he doesn't rest his entire program upon us, upon our faithfulness. God is going to accomplish his purposes, but this is the thing. You have the opportunity and the privilege of being an instrument through which God is to accomplish his purposes. And who knows? Maybe that's exactly why you are where you are. God has strategically placed you in that position so that you could be the instrument through which his purposes could be accomplished. Kingdoms may rise and fall, Esther, but God's word will remain, and God's people shall be preserved. But who knows? Maybe you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. As you look back on your life and you see those incidences and those coincidences that have brought you to where you are today, why has God placed me in this position? Why am I where I am? Why do I have these opportunities that God has placed before me? Why has God allowed the circumstances that have brought me to this place? Could it be that somehow God has a divine purpose for me to fulfill? Could it be that God has brought me to the kingdom for such a time as this that he might accomplish in and through my life his plan and his purpose? Could it be that God would use me as an instrument in the fulfilling of his will? That's the question that each of us must ask ourselves as we look at our lives and our positions where we are today. Can it be that God has put me here for such a time as this? The scriptures would seem to indicate that this is so. The Bible tells us that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. That is, that God has his hand upon you, has placed you where you are for his purposes. Do you believe that all of life is just an accident? That you are where you are because of a series of fortuitous concurrences of accidental circumstances? That there is no reason, there is no purpose behind life itself? Or could it be that there is a divine hand that has been directing things and has brought me to this place? There are some people who see the hand of God in everything, others who see the hand of God in nothing. But if I did not believe that the hand of God was upon my life to guide my life, I would be a cynical pessimist today. I believe that the good and the bad that comes to my life are things that God has allowed according to his purpose, that he might fulfill his purposes and his plans in my life. Esther, who knows? But what God hasn't brought you to the kingdom for such a time as this. There comes that time in our lives, that critical moment when the time comes for us to step out to discover whether or not God has brought us to this place for such a time as this. The challenge comes. I'm in a place to do something. Do I just sit back or do I, by faith, step out? It takes, at this point, commitment. It takes a total commitment. As Esther, in her answer to Mordecai, as he appealed to her to risk all to go in before the king, she said, "Have all the people fast and pray for me, and I will go in. And if I perish, I perish." That's total commitment. Hey, I'll do it. If I die, I die. That is the kind of commitment that gets things done. There are all kinds of demands that are being made upon us to commit ourselves to various causes. And I'm amazed at the causes to which a person is willing to commit his life. Some lady came by and rang our doorbell the other night. And she was from Greenpeace. She had committed herself to saving whales and other things. And she was willing to go out in the evening, dinner time, and go door to door and solicit people for money. Now, that can't be easy. But she's committed to this cause. And there are people who are seeking to get you to commit yourself to all kinds of causes. I receive mail every week from different organizations wanting me to commit myself, to commit my money, my time to their causes. But we have been called to commit ourselves to the cause of Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, some of you have about as deep a commitment as a kamikaze pilot making his fourth mission. That kind of commitment won't get the job done. It takes this do or die. If I perish, I perish. Our world is in a crisis today. I look around and I see how critical are the conditions of this world in which we live. I am convinced that we cannot remain in a state of status quo. Things are going to have to change. Mankind cannot continue at this pace. There are so many things that are threatening, really, the whole social structure of mankind. We cannot continue with the stupid policies that we have inaugurated concerning the AIDS virus. Policies and legislature that only help to spread this deadly plague through our community. There are present laws in the state of California that are designed to protect a small segment of our society which introduced AIDS to us, while it endangers every one of the rest of us. These are the laws that make it a felony for a doctor to report the fact that a person has AIDS to anybody outside of the patient themselves. A new addition has been added. He can tell the sexual partner of that person. But he can't tell his nurse, who is taking the blood samples, to be careful of that blood. If you have a cut or something, that fellow, you know, has the AIDS virus, so be very, very careful when you handle those. He can't tell them that. And some nurses have already contracted AIDS because of the failure of being warned by the doctors here in the state of California. Yet AIDS is the only virus that man has yet known that is 100% fatal. Now, there are laws in the state of California. If you go to the doctor and he finds out that you have some communicable venereal disease, such as syphilis or gonorrhea, he is required by law to report it to the health department, in order that they might trace the origin, who is spreading this disease. He has to give your name, your address, and your social security number to the health department. He's required by law to do so. But if you have AIDS, then it's a felony if he reports it. The World Health Organization said by the year 2000, 11 years from now, 100 million people throughout the world will have died from AIDS. That's the World Health Organization's statistic. Here in the United States, by 1991, in the year 1991, as many people as were killed in the Vietnam War will die from AIDS in that one year here in America. The number of men we lost in the Vietnam War, that number of people will die of AIDS in 1991. By the year 2000, here in the United States, between 2 and 3 million people will be dead as the result of AIDS. And yet we have these insane laws that restrict the doctors from tracing the virus and being able to maybe put some kind of a curb upon its spread like they do with other communicable diseases. It is a wise thing to try and determine the origins and to stop the spread of diseases, and that's what doctors are devoted to, but they are hamstrung by the legislature. Art Agnos, the present mayor, former member of the state legislature, was the one that introduced that bit of legislation that threatens every one of you. See, the problem with AIDS is that only 1 in 10 person who has it knows that they have it. Over Well, 1 in 10 who have AIDS know it. The rest of them don't even know it yet. And yet, nothing can be done to stop its spread. That can't go on. That's lunacy. It can't continue. We can't remain in this status quo. Congress is finally waking up to the fact that there's a drug problem in the United States. And this past week, have inaugurated new legislation to impose severe penalties upon the users, $10,000 fines, upon those who are caught with any drugs, a zero tolerance policy. It's probably another classic case of too little, too late, because already our jails are overcrowded. So you're caught with some substance and you've got a $10,000 fine. You can't pay the fine. What'll happen? They can't put you in jail because there isn't enough room in the jails. The courts have ordered the sheriff of Orange County to empty the jail to a certain level. And he's had to release several thousand prisoners that should be in jail, but they're on the streets today because he was ordered by the court to do so because he said it isn't right to keep them in overcrowded conditions. It is depriving them of their civil liberties. We can't go on. The gangs and the gang warfare has brought us to a state of anarchy. It isn't something that is going to come, it is something that is here. And things have to change. I am convinced, I am firmly convinced, that there is no hope for the future apart from the return of Jesus Christ to establish God's eternal kingdom upon this earth. I'm convinced that that's the only hope that we have today. I'm also convinced that that's going to take place and very soon. And that's what keeps me going. It is a time of crisis. And don't think that when the gauntlet falls that you're going to escape in your own little secure place. That though the rest of it may go down, somehow you will be immune and you can escape. There will be no escape. The coming judgment that is to come, except in and through Jesus Christ. But it's going to take a commitment now on our part. For you see, it isn't sufficient that just we know of the love of Jesus Christ and his plan of salvation. We have an obligation to let the world know, so that those who are ordained to eternal life might believe and might come to know Jesus Christ. But to reach the world is going to take even a greater commitment than what we have already made. Jesus said we're to occupy until he comes. And God has placed this church in a very unique position. God has brought us to this place, I believe, for such a time as this. This church is being used by God to bring help and blessing and his word to millions in China. There are over 10,000 house churches in China that we are supporting with literature, with Bibles, with Bible study tapes. This church is being used as an instrument of God to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the continent of Africa. And those that we have over there that we are supporting are testifying of over 1,000 converts each month as the result of the ministry that is sponsored by this church. The film Future Survival is being used throughout Africa. We have provided the cameras or the projectors, the generators, the films for these pastors, and it has been seen by all of the armed forces in Kenya. It's been shown in all of the schools of Kenya. It's been shown to the president, to his cabinet. And God is using it to bring thousands to Jesus Christ. God is using Raul Ries. And that film that the church paid for, the future, Fury to Freedom, to touch the South American continent. Raul was supposed to go with me Tuesday to a pastor's conference up in Seattle, the pastors from the Calvary Chapels in the Pacific Northwest. Raul called this week and said he received a call from the president of one of the large South American nations. They are showing his film to all the armed services, and they've asked Raul to come down and to witness personally to these men after the showing of the film. So he can't go with us because of going down to South America, this opportunity that he has of witnessing down there. This church is presently purchasing a castle in Austria to enhance our ministry to the Eastern Bloc churches. We have quite a ministry of helping the churches in the East Bloc countries with food, with supplies, with teaching, study tapes and all, with conferences for the pastors. We just spent over $34,000 to bring the pastors in from Eastern Europe for a conference that we spoke at in Austria a couple of weeks ago. The conferences have doubled in the last year. We need more space, and so the Lord opened the door for us to be able to purchase this fabulous castle that we are going to be turning into sort of a conference center so that these pastors may come for the conferences. But Dr. Wilder Smith is there this morning to look over the facility, to also use it to bring the intellectuals of Europe, the university students and the professors, to a place where they can be challenged with the viability of God's word and to a commitment themselves to Jesus Christ. And so we're beginning to touch the European continent, the Iron Curtain countries. Interesting, interesting how God has placed us in this position, I believe, for such a time as this. This past week, while I was in the pastor's conference in Indiana, a program was presented to me whereby we can have the Word for Today Bible study tapes translated into the Hindi language and begin broadcasting in India to the 970 million people that are there. Tomorrow they are presenting to me a program whereby we can impact all of the Arab nations of the Middle East. Who knows? Maybe God has brought us to the kingdom for such a time as this. The opportunities that the Lord is raising up and opening for this church to impact this world for Jesus Christ. Thank God for those committed people, for you who have committed yourself to the Lord, and for what God has done and what God is doing in impacting our world. We're going to go for it. If we perish, we perish, but that doesn't make any difference. The whole thing's going to go down anyhow. I think, oh, what folly, you know, to try to hang on, to try to preserve that which we have. I feel like Jim Elliot, who said, "No man is a fool who gives up that which he cannot keep in order to gain that which he cannot lose." Commitment. It's something that comes down now very personal. My own personal commitment to serving, to following Jesus Christ. How do you know? But what God hasn't brought you to this place for such a time as this. Put you in this strategic position. Opened up certain avenues and influence and spheres of influence for you for such a time as this. That through us, he might be able to accomplish his saving purposes for this world. The prospect is exciting. We don't know for sure. We won't know unless we just go for it. And so by the grace of God, that's what we intend to do. Here we are, Lord. We make ourselves available to you. Those resources that you have blessed us with really belong to you. They are yours to be used to reach this world for Jesus Christ. If we perish, we perish. But I have a sneaking suspicion that just as God used Esther, he's going to use us. Shall we pray? Father, how excited we are that you have placed us in this strategic place at this time for such a time as this. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done already. We thank you, Lord, more for what you are doing right now. And Lord, we commit ourselves for whatever it is you want to do, that our lives might be your instruments to be offered upon the altar of sacrifice and commitment, that you might use us, Lord, as a body to accomplish your purposes in this world for the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus said, "He who seeks to save his life will lose it. But if you will lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. If I perish, I perish. If I lose my life for his sake, hey, I will really find it." May God bless you, and may the Spirit of God be upon your life. And may the Spirit challenge you concerning your own personal commitment in these days, at this time. Your commitment to Jesus Christ, your commitment to the kingdom of God, your commitment to the expanding of the kingdom of God until every man knows. In Jesus' name.